Right now, I'm very happy to welcome to our program Alex Lawson. He's the executive director of the group Social Security Works. And Alex, thanks so much for spending time with us, and I'm sure this is a very busy day, given that the Republicans made their offer today, which involved many of the programs that you're working to protect. But maybe you can speak to us a little bit about your organization, Social Security Works.
Great. First off, thanks for having me.
Very welcome.
Social Security Works, we are an organization dedicated to protecting and expanding Social Security because we understand, as the American people do, the fundamental truth that's embodied in our name, Social Security Works. It really does. It's an efficient, effective system that really benefits all Americans, which is why support for it crosses ideological lines. You see around 75% of Americans, regardless of partisan affiliation, united in saying, hands off our Social Security system. You also see similar levels of support for Medicare and Medicaid, because people understand that these critical systems are really fundamentally about American values that we hold dear. And they're not willing to dismantle those systems and sell them off piece by piece to give tax cuts to the richest 2%. So I was able to tell you a little bit about who we are and also a little bit about what we do.
Thank you for that. I thought at the beginning here, now that the Republicans have put their proposal on the table as it is, maybe I could ask you, first off, if you would summarize for us what President Obama has offered as his opening bid in the negotiations to avert the so-called fiscal cliff, and compare that offer to what the Republican Party leadership put on the table as their initial negotiating position.
Yeah, that's a great point. To understand where we are, you really do have to look at the offer that the administration made, and then the counter that the Republicans made today. What we saw from the president was something that we've been asking for over 2 years. We've been asking for the administration to stand strongly for these American programs, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. And in the offer, he did. Up and down leadership, they've been saying Social Security is off the table, which is really important because it gets us back to reality, because they're saying the truth. Social Security by law cannot borrow a penny, so it cannot contribute to the deficit. Therefore, it has no place in any deficit discussions. When it comes to Medicare, in the president's proposal, what you saw was some very large numbers, and they're scary, because $400 billion in savings is a lot of money that they're talking about over 10 years. At the same time, Center for American Progress put out a report that detailed $385 billion in savings and efficiencies that did not directly cut benefits. And I think that's an important distinction. So fundamentally, the president's offer did stay with what you're seeing as a united progressive position that says no benefit cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and no tax cuts for the richest 2%. So on the other side of the president's offer, on the revenue side, what you saw was calling for the expiration of the Bush-era tax cuts for the richest 2% and a reinstatement of the estate tax, I believe, to around the 2009 levels, and as well as taxing capital gains and dividends, investment income, at income levels, which would stop the loophole, the preference to that really benefits millionaires and billionaires. Something that I really thought was strong in the president's proposal was it also included $50 billion in immediate spending, and because this is what we actually need to get the economy going again, because we obviously are talking about the wrong issue here. We don't have a deficit problem right now. we have an unemployment problem right now. We have to deal with the real crisis and get Americans back to work. On the other side, what you saw today from the Republican counterproposal was it was just saying we're not going to enter these negotiations because it was not at all a real proposal. The revenue side of it was based on dynamic scoring, which basically means it's fake revenue. It included devastating cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and it didn't really spell out any of the specifics. So I think it was basically a clown counteroffer, and it was not a serious attempt at negotiating.
Last year, President Obama reportedly was willing to deal away a lot of cuts in Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid as well when he met with Speaker of the House John Boehner. And there are a lot of organizations out there very concerned about what might happen in the end game of these negotiations that could very well see some halfway the White House meet the Republicans halfway, which might include some of these big cuts, benefit cuts, and raising the retirement age of Medicare. What's your feeling about where these negotiations may go, given the history of President Obama's previous positions in what was called back then the so-called grand bargain?
Look, Social Security Works and the progressive movement writ large are united on a very simple line in the sand. It says no benefit cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and no tax cuts for the richest 2%. That's where we're going to stay. We're going to make sure that everyone understands exactly where we are, and that is what we will be comfortable with. Any deal that crosses that line is unacceptable. The AFL-CIO, the SEIU, Move On, it's a host. It's probably the largest collection of progressive organizations I've ever seen on a unified point. Now, where is the negotiation going to go by those on the inside? So the president, his negotiators, and where they're going to meet the Republicans. I think we are worried because we have seen that the administration has, in previous negotiations, put forward cuts that are anathema to progressive values. But the one thing that we know we can control, and the one thing that your listeners know they can control, is we can make sure we are clear about where our line in the sand is. We can make sure that our legislators are hearing from us, that our members, that our member and our two senators are all hearing from us for the next 3 weeks, very clearly stating our line in the sand. This is the line, and anything that crosses, no benefit cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and no tax cuts for the richest 2%, is unacceptable to us.
Alex, you talked about the large coalition that's come under the banner of no cuts to the nation's social safety net programs, but what kind of pressure can be exerted by this coalition of progressive groups to ensure that the White House, President Obama, doesn't cross that line in the sand? What can you do?
Well, I think that I believe in really simple plans. So at this moment, what we have to do is make a din in the clamor. We have to make sure that we are making as much noise as possible, both in D.C., which includes meeting with members, their staff, bringing constituents into the city and walking them around the hill. That's happening right now. The AFL did it last week. The AFL and a collection of labor organizations did that last week. The 5th, there will be a call-in day, a national call-in day, that is also taking place at the same time as some actions in front of Social Security offices all around the country. These are the type of things. I think that this is, it really does work when you can create this pressure, because, I mean, we all know that the lame duck session people are basically looking at the clock, waiting for the time they can get on the plane and go home for the holidays. And if we can just make sure that everybody knows that the entire country is watching what they're doing, and we are not going to accept benefit cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. We're not going to accept tax cuts for the richest 2%. I think that D.C. is going to listen, and I think that most probably they'll somewhat kick the can down the road. They're not going to want to fly right in the face of this intense popular backlash or this organizing that's happening all around the country.
Do you get the sense there would be a popular backlash? We've seen many, many polls all saying that the nation, by large margins, and that includes Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, oppose cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Do you think this would opposition to any deal that crossed the line you're talking about would manifest itself in terms of mobilizing tens or hundreds of thousands of people? I mean, are we talking about things of that scale happening over the next few weeks?
I definitely think we are. I think you're already seeing that the AFL has made an historic effort of keeping their organizers in the field. The SEIU, NEA, pretty much United Labor, as well as Move On and other large progressive organizations, Democracy for America. And I think that if D.C. were to try to slip a grand betrayal through that cuts these programs. As you said, there was an election recently, and people did not vote for D.C. to reach into their pocket and take their Social Security, their earned benefits. And I think that the sense of betrayal and outrage would motivate people to take action, even at a higher level than we're seeing right now.
We're speaking with Alex Lawson. He's executive director of the group Social Security Works. We're talking about the fiscal cliff negotiations. And Alex, when you look at the negotiations going on now and the possibility that a deal cannot be reached, would you favor going off the cliff, as they say, or going, walking off the bluff, or whatever we're calling it these days? Do you favor?
I think the last thing you said there, the bluff, I think of it as a fiscal bluff because there's no cliff nature to it. It is fully a construct of Congress, which means that Congress can push it forward. There is no real reason for any of the sequester, or there's a multitude of things, the AMT, the extenders, the doc fix. All of these things are actually pretty much separate. And as well as all of the Bush-era tax cuts. So I think that what we're looking at is that there is no cliff, and the worst-case scenario is that there's a bad deal, that there's a grand betrayal that is a...
Very happy that we got back in touch with Alex Lawson of Social Security Works and have him back on the air. Alex, sorry for the interruption.
Oh, no problem. But right after I lost you, I actually made an incredibly amazing point that I don't know if I'll be able to recreate, so you'll just have to believe me.
Okay.
I was actually just, that's a joke, sorry. I was just saying that really the danger here is that in creating the sense that there is this so-called fiscal cliff, this crisis that will happen, the worst-case scenario is not a deal not happening. The worst-case scenario is a bad deal happening. It's entirely possible that a bad deal, a deal that could be cut, would be far worse than the status quo. Let's just focus on the Bush-era tax cuts for a second. If those were to all expire on all Americans, that wouldn't be a good thing. But next Congress, we would turn back, we would, people could come right back into work and they could put forward a bill to cut taxes on 98% of Americans, and they could just do that day in and day out until it made its way through. So I think between that and taking some of those tax rate increases on the richest 2% and substituting some of the stuff that the Republicans countered with today, which is really fake revenue, that would be, you know, that's a bad deal. So I think it's just one of these weird, complex DC things, but at the same time, it's very simple. The whole so-called fiscal cliff is really a fiscal bluff. It's a bluff that is created by Congress to try to force the hand of Congress itself. And because it's congressionally created, that means that Congress can just say, we're not going to have the sequester take effect. We are going to have the tax extenders pushed out and go through. So taken in their pieces, you know, it's something that Congress could do. Does that make some sense? That I think that the framing of it is very artfully done. If a person's goal is to cause the sense that there is this crisis and that we have to do something, and you have to accept anything because if not, we're going to go over this so-called cliff.
So basically what you're saying, it'd be better to go off the cliff and deal with the consequences, which there are ways to deal with tax increases, as you said, for 98% of the folks out there in the country after the Christmas, New Year's recess, and then they could come back and fix it. So going off the cliff may not necessarily be a bad thing versus a bad deal. That's what I'm hearing you say. So, and
I'm definitely saying that I would just add on that I don't actually think there is a cliff, that there's a unified thing to go over. I think pieces of it would get dealt with if there was no agreement reached on the Bush-era tax cuts. I think that the doc fix and other pieces of what they are trying to lump together and call the fiscal cliff is would be dealt with. But yes, fundamentally what I'm saying is that if you are altering the structure of our Social Security system, if you are decimating Medicaid to the point that it can't work anymore, if you're turning Medicare into a fundamentally different system from the earned benefit social insurance program it is, that is part of, that is not worth it. That is not worth what there are legislative fixes to other things. If, as you pointed out, and I'm just saying the same thing again, if tax rates go up, well, the next Congress, we can take those tax rates down for 98% of Americans. But if you destroy or dismantle our Social Security system, can't put it back together again. So we have to really be vigilant against that bad deal.
Alex, how do you argue against a lot of pundits out there and politicians, both Democrats and Republicans, who say that entitlement programs must be on the table for cuts? There's a lot of support out there for raising the retirement age from 65 to 67 for Medicare, bringing it in line with a previous deal that does the same thing for Social Security. What's your view on that plan? Obviously, it in essence would be a reduction of benefits.
It would be a reduction in benefits. That's something that I like to make really clear. It's not like a reduction in benefits. It is a benefit cut. It's a straightforward benefit cut. On Social Security, if you raise the retirement age 1 year to 6.5% benefit cut across the board. What I say when people are proposing this is I say, look, generations of Americans working together have built our Social Security system. It has not missed a payment in 77 years. This is a truly American system that puts forward and represents the best of American values, like rewarding hard work, promoting family, rewarding delayed gratification. It's really about a choice of what kind of nation do we want to live in, and the American people are clear. The American people across party lines, including self-identified Tea Partiers, who 70% of them say, hands off our Social Security and our Medicare, the American people have spoken. So what we have to do is make sure that the elite in D.C. and the elite in the media understand that the people, the American people, are watching. We're vigilant against this bad deal, and we're not going to accept this bad deal.
Well, just one last question, Alex. As you're working with a coalition of groups across the country, and people who are listening understandably have a lot at stake in terms of these negotiations and their outcome, How do you suggest people get involved in this issue with only a few weeks left to go before this self-imposed deadline by Congress?
That's a really important question, and I think the simplest way is we put out a petition with Bernie, Senator Bernie Sanders, and it really spells this out really clearly and is around these two points: no benefit cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and no tax cuts for the richest 2%. You can find that at signon.org/no cuts. So again, it's signon.org/no cuts. And what we're doing with that, the folks who signed that, we're also then following up with them during national call-in days and other opportunities for people to take action. And we're encouraging them to use the tools that we're providing to contact their members of Congress, to contact their senators, their member, and make sure that their voice is heard. So that's a really easy way and a really important way that I think your listeners can get involved.
Well, Alex, thanks for spending time with us tonight. And I know what has to be a very busy day. I know you got some other interviews coming up. So we'll hopefully stay in touch. And if there's important things going on in terms of mobilizations or a victory party, we'd love to talk to you again. So thank you.
And I would love to be back on anytime. So thank you for giving me the opportunity. Have a great evening.
You too, Alex. Thank you. Bye-bye. That's Alex Lawson, executive director of the group Social Security Works, and talking about the fiscal cliff negotiations and specifically this group's and a part of a coalition that are out to protect the social safety net, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.